Hello and welcome to everyone tuning in to this Office of Inspector General podcast. Joining me is Special Agent Al Bailey from our Office of Investigation.
Thanks, Becky. Glad to be here.
Special Agent Bailey, you've been investigating for several years now a phishing scam at the EPA. But before we get into that investigation, can you just briefly explain what phishing is?
Absolutely. It's actually exactly what it sounds like with a modern criminal twist. Phishing is when bad guys use technology to fish for your personal information like credit card numbers, bank account information, email logins. That's why this new type of phishing is spelled a little bit differently. We start it with a P for personal information rather than an F for fish.
P-H-I-S-H-I-N-G. Fascinating. I'm guessing they don't use a rod and reel for this type of phishing either. I know there is information you can't share with us because the investigation is still ongoing. But can you tell us what this phishing scam at the EPA looks like?
Sure, I'll be glad to share what I can. Back in 2012, a fellow law enforcement agency contacted us here at the OIG and said, hey, we're looking at hundreds of thousands of dollars of office supplies being ordered by employees at the EPA. These office supplies weren't being shipped to the EPA, though. They were being ordered with stolen credit cards. There was a belief that some employees may have been involved in some sort of purchasing scam.
But I take it that wasn't the case.
Not at all. What happened was criminals based out of a foreign country were trying to make money and come up with a pretty elaborate scam to steal office supplies from the United States.
Wait a minute. Why did they target office supplies? Wouldn't other things be easier or more valuable?
Well, this country is a former British colony, and the British government was very dependent on paper. All their records, decisions, documents needed to be printed out and literally rubber stamped. And to this day, even though it's no longer a British colony, this country's government is still very dependent on paper. So there's actually a huge market for office supplies, and things like printer cartridges are very pricey. If you can figure out how to get free toner and then resell it, you're making quite a profit.
Wow. So how did the EPA play into this?
Well, the EPA is a fairly open federal agency, which means that we put a lot of our contact information online. These folks were able to compile a list of approximately 1,700 email addresses by searching the internet for EPA employees. Once they had the employees' addresses, they sent a mass email to these employees pretending to be from the EPA's online security team. The email told these employees that the EPA was undergoing a system upgrade and that they had to reset their remote login credentials or else their email accounts would be frozen. And of course, the email included a link that took these employees to a page that was supposedly the EPA's remote login page.
Just a note to our listeners, most federal agencies and private companies for that matter, have web pages that allow employees to access their email accounts remotely when they are not in the office. To access their emails through these pages, employees typically have to enter a username and a password, much like logging into a bank account. Special Agent Bailey, surely these EPA employees saw an email coming from a foreign country and knew not to respond.
Well, the email didn't look like it came from a foreign country. There are services that let you put out a mass email with made-up email addresses. I'll show you what one of those phishing emails sent to the EPA looks like. Is there any way we can show the folks that are listening?
Sure, we can post any images you want to share on the website. We'll put them on the page where this podcast is located.
Great, so if you take a minute to look at that email, you'll see that it's fairly legitimate looking. It does contain some misspellings and other details that are clues that it is probably not legitimate. But the bad guys actually do this on purpose. They want to keep away from people who are observant enough to notice these details, and they're trying to attract a small portion of folks who may not realize what's happening. People who probably won't question or notice anything out of the ordinary. Most people assume that these misspellings are mistakes, but they're not. It's a pretty ingenious technique to target our most vulnerable populations.
So how many people from the EPA responded to the email, and what happened then?
Well, too many employees clicked on the link in the email, and listeners, I'm making air quotes with my fingers here, reset their passwords. And it won't surprise you to find out that the link was not legitimate. The bad guys had taken a mirror image of the EPA's remote logon page. Their made-up page looked almost exactly as the same one that we log into. Becky, I'll give you another picture that you can post. Instead of being a legitimate EPA page on the EPA website, these criminals actually hacked into a Mexican newspaper's website and hung their made-up web page there. Of course, the link they provided in the email went right to the made-up page. So as long as the EPA employees didn't examine the actual address of the link provided, nothing looked amiss.
This is starting to sound complicated.
Well, it doesn't stop there. When these phished and caught employees typed their usernames and passwords into this made-up webpage, the bad guys got a report with the employee's username and password associated with their email address. With that information, these guys could go to EPA's real logon page and access the email accounts of these employees.
But what did they do with this access?
They could assume the identity of these EPA employees and gain access to quite a bit of information. Using the federal employee credentials they had gotten through their fake login page, these guys were able to access the GSA website. GSA stands for Government Services Administration. The GSA website lists all the office supply vendors that federal agencies are allowed to use. Posing as EPA employees and using EPA employees' email accounts, the bad guys then sent an email to the vendors ordering office supplies.
But didn't the EPA employees notice that emails were being sent from their accounts? And didn't they have to pay for these office supplies?
Well, we've already established that these bad guys were pretty smart. This foreign country is several hours ahead of the U.S., so they would lock in the email accounts when most of us were sleeping. And they were really careful to cover up their tracks, deleting all the emails they sent. On top of that, they used credit cards that they had stolen from a completely separate phishing scam, where they sent emails that looked like they came from PayPal or JP Morgan or companies like that to people with Yahoo or Hotmail addresses, asking them to log into their accounts and verify their credentials. Of course, these were made up the login pages as well, and that's how the criminals stole the credit card numbers to pay for these supplies.
Wow. And I can see how, when the office supply companies received these orders, not only did they think they were from federal employees, they were legitimate credit cards. So they went ahead and processed the orders. But they had to ship these supplies somewhere. Wouldn't an address from a foreign country give it all away?
Well, again, these guys had it all figured out. They ran advertisements in newspapers in big cities to work from home. You know, those ads that promise you easy money. As the saying goes, if it looks too good to be true, it probably is. But the ads look real, and these so-called companies offered good money to U.S. citizens, often those in need of some cash, to essentially be shipping intermediaries. All these people needed were valid U.S. addresses and a garage. These folks would receive shipments from the office supply companies, slap a new label provided to them by their new employers, and then send the shipment off again. And that's how these supplies would make their way to this foreign country.
It sounds like they thought of everything. Can I ask, were you able to catch the people who phished the EPA?
Well, this investigation is still ongoing, but I can tell you that we've made one arrest already and have warrants for other bad actors in other foreign countries. This group of criminals didn't stop with the EPA. They've since targeted other U.S. agencies, and so we've been consulting with and helping those agencies identify and stop these folks.
And how can we stop these people? What did the EPA do to prevent this from happening again?
Back in 2012, when we realized this was going on, EPA employees needed one method of verification to log on to their computers and accounts, just a password. Now most federal agencies require a two-step system of verification. That means in addition to your password, you need another way to verify your identity. For example, each EPA employee now has a physical card that he or she has to insert into the computer. You can't log on with just your password anymore. This change definitely helps, but not all federal agencies and companies require this. Plus, the techniques of criminals morph along with the technology, so this particular group has begun what's called spoofing the EPA. Which means they buy a domain with a web address that is really close to the actual EPA's address. So for example, instead of epa.gov, the made-up domain might be epa-gov.org. So when the bad guys send emails to the office suppliers using this address, the office suppliers may still think it's coming from a government employee and will process the orders.
Do you have any advice on how we can keep our identities and wallets safe?
Just stay vigilant, and when responding to emails, don't click on any email links asking you to verify your account or stating that your accounts will be limited if you don't click on a link, unless you've initiated that process yourself. This includes banking, email, credit card, cable, or any other accounts. If you do get an email like that and think it's legitimate, I would not recommend clicking on the link. Copy and paste the address directly in the browser so you can see the address and could tell it really does come from the company it's supposed to come from, and not a Mexican newspaper. Or, You can call the company asking for verification and do it over the phone if possible. At the very least, if you call the company, you can check about the email you received.
Special Agent Bailey, thank you so much for talking to us today, and especially for all the hard work you do protecting us from these scams. And thank you to our listeners for joining us. Just one final note. If you are interested in seeing any of the emails and images we mentioned during our conversation, we will post them on the EPA.org's website in the same location you access this podcast. Just go to www.epa.gov/OIG and navigate to the podcast page. Thank you.